astonishing words. We need to be challenged as God's people all the time that we might live lives that would be pleasing to our Lord. Appreciate it. We're studying the book of Hebrews together. Now, you found out already as we were studying the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that our studies sometimes can get down into some deep subjects. And we're going to get into some issues in the book of Hebrews that we need to go slow at, and we need to consider seriously. And so I admonish you again to read through the book of Hebrews with me, stay ahead of me, and then look at the notes that I give out to you. Those are simply to be a supplement to you as we look at this book. Hebrews chapter 2 is our text for this morning. We've gone through chapter 1, wherein that Paul has said for us that God hath in these last times spoken to us by his Son. Now, if you get nothing else out of all of our study in the book of Hebrews, I trust that you will get that, that God hath spoken unto his people by his Son. Now, not only to his people, but also to the whole world in general. The message of God has gone out to the world as to the ends of the earth. Paul will tell you in Colossians that it went out to every creature, every person at that time. Well, if we're certainly living in a day and age in which the knowledge of Christ is in a general sense throughout most the inhabited world. Now, I said the knowledge of Christ in a general sense, who Jesus Christ is. That only God's elect people, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God, have a true understanding of who Jesus Christ is. The Lord said to Peter, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." It's not a matter of head knowledge. It's not something that you're going to get in Sunday school. It's not something you're going to get just listening to a preacher or reading some book. It's what God, by the Holy Spirit of God, sovereignly gives you an understanding as to who Jesus Christ is. I trust that everyone today, under the sound of my voice, and everyone who will hear this message, I trust that you might be brought by the Holy Spirit of God to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. If you come to know who he is, you will know him as your Savior and as your Redeemer. And so that's what God has for us here in the book of Hebrews. God hath in these last days, and the last days began with the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. His ministry. My wife and I are now reading at this time through the book of the Gospel of Mark. We're reading through the Gospels, and we're going on through the New Testament. And it's amazing as you read through those Gospels to note and see the many things that Jesus Christ did. And we'll say more about that as time goes on. But it is, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's what God would have us to understand. And we noted then in the first chapter that Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. You might say, "Well, I got a vision," or "I had a dream," or "I did such and such." The true message of who Jesus Christ comes to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And so he is superior to all the angelic hosts because he is the eternal Son of God. He is the very Son of God who came to earth. And we'll talk more about that as we come on farther into the book of Hebrews, second chapter particularly. Second chapter of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 1. Follow along with me, if you would please, as we read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, now, there's an old saying, you know, and I've repeated this. You've heard me say it many times, and the reason I repeat it is because every preacher tries to repeat it, because every time you see a therefore in the Bible, God put it there for a very particular purpose, and that is that you might consider what has been said already. There is a reason why that word is there. The old saying is, whenever you see a therefore, you want to see why it's therefore. And so, therefore, in view of the fact that Jesus Christ is superior to all of the angels. Therefore, Paul says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, the subject for today's message, the title is going to be Distractions. Distractions. And we'll come back and talk more about that in verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect? Now, my friends, I've heard many what we call evangelistic messages preached from this text. How shall we escape? Well, that's a good question. But I'll tell you, Paul is writing to God's people. And here is a serious warning. How shall we escape? Escape the chastening of the Lord. Now remember, the book of Hebrews is written to Christians who were in the Jewish Christians who were living primarily in Rome and in the Roman Empire, and they were under a tremendous amount of pressure. They were under personal persecution from their families and all their friends because they were leaving Judaism, and so they were being harassed because you're leaving Judaism. That's the religion of our fathers and our ancestors and all that. Plus, they were being persecuted by the Romans. And so from both sides, they were getting persecution. And so they were kind of wanting to draw back a little bit and back off, not to get too excited. You know, a lot of people like Christianity as long as you don't get too extreme about it, you know. Don't get too radical about it. Well, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to kind of step back a little bit and not to seem to be too radical about this matter of Christianity. Faith in Jesus Christ. And so how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, isn't that a great subject? Such a great salvation, purposed and planned by God Almighty from before the foundation of the world to redeem and save His people from their sins and to secure their eternal salvation. You cannot find anything greater to talk about than this great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect such great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Now, when you read, you might just turn there with me a moment, see this. Turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and Mark will begin his letter by saying this, verse 1, in the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's talking about, and he begins with the baptism of Jesus Christ, by John the Baptist. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was indeed very critical and very essential, his virgin birth. All of that is very important. But what's most important is to understand why Jesus Christ came to earth. It is the gospel, the good news of Christ, at which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed. Now, there's a word you just need to kind of take note of. Confirmed. By us, unto us, by them that heard. Now the word him is in italics because it's been added there by the translators to give us some idea that it's talking to certain men. But the important thing is to them that heard, the apostles who God chose out to be men of God to give to us that message which Jesus Christ had preached, and so they heard him. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, everything was brought back to their remembrance. There's sometimes some things in here you read, you know, as you're going through the gospel particular accounts. And you say, well, how did they remember all of that? How did they know all of that? Sometimes you'll read about Jesus Christ, you know, he knew what they were thinking. And you say, well, how did they know what they were? Where did you get that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance. As the Lord said to that, he would do. And so them that heard, it was confirmed on them. How did God confirm the message? Verse 4. God, bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. According to his own will. God was confirming that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God. Remember in the third chapter of John, Nicodemus came to him and said, "We know that thou art a man sent from God." As I've said before, that's a lot more than what many preachers and pulpits today know. But Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man doeth the things that thou doest except God would be with him." Now, all of the miracles that Jesus Christ did, and when you read through those Gospels, it's just innumerable. Well, fact of the matter, John will tell you in the last chapter of John that all the things that Jesus Christ did, that books could not contain them all. Miracle after miracle. Some people just came up and touched a garment. Sometimes he would speak to someone, and miracle after miracle that Jesus Christ did, and they heard him speak in marvelous, amazing truth as he spoke. All of that, my friends, including this resurrection, was a confirmation that this is the very Son of God. And then the apostles came along. Now, we've got some modern-day men who call themselves apostles. Well, the word apostles means and does mean one sent with authority. But there are no true apostles today. Those apostles, the first century, that's the last school or last group of apostles. They were especially endowed men by the Holy Spirit of God so that they had a divine understanding and divine message to give unto us, and that was accredited, confirmed by the miracles that they did. Now, you know, one time there, they just having the handkerchiefs that Paul had, and he would send them out, and they were getting healed. Well, I know that we've got men today who claim that they can do healing. Well, I believe in divine healing, but I don't believe in divine healers today. All the healing today comes from God Almighty. No man has that ability to give and to heal and to so-called slay you in the spirit. I wish that they would go to these wards where we're having chronic patients, you know, that are dying with cancer and who are dying with the virus. Why don't those men, where's Benny Hinn now? Let's get him to go over to New York City or to California and visit. No, because there's no money in it out there, you see. That's what the name of the whole racket is all about, is the money. It's all over the whole world. But God confirming those men, the apostles, with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Are those same gifts ours today? Well, what we need, what we have need of, yes, God gives gifts, ministering gifts, comforting gifts, understanding gifts, enduring gifts, all those gifts, and Paul will talk about them in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're there, and they're ours, and they're given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, back to verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Friends, folks, may I tell you again, my subject for the day is distractions. You know, I used to do safety work and involved with safety, and one of the most dangerous things, one of the most common things that causes accidents, if that's what we call them, is distractions. People get distracted from what they're doing. Driving down the highway, you're going down the highway making 60 miles an hour or whatever it may be, and one of the most serious things that can happen to you is to get distracted. It can happen something inside the car. Maybe some of the kids will say something, and you get distracted. Well, wait a minute. Well, and next thing you know, you're going off the road or you're going on the other accidents, and they're trying to tell you to be careful what it is that what you're doing and driving down the road, because a distraction can lead to a terrible calamity. And so this is what we have to deal with, is distraction. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, the word earnest here is a very important word. What that word is telling to us is that we ought to give the more earnest heed. This word earnest has an idea of deep commitment, serious commitment. You don't just listen with half an ear. You know, Paul here wants our full attention. We ought to give the more earnest heed. How? Why? Well, Paul would say, I've already set forth to you that Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. And if an angel walked in here or met you in your bedroom or somewhere along the road, you remember the angels used to do that in the Old Testament days. They would stop and somebody, one of the child of God, you know, and speak to them. And men, that was a message that they said, that's true. I heard it from an angel. But Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. And his message is the full and complete and perfect revelation of God to us. John says in John the first chapter, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh, human flesh, for the very express reason and purpose that he might make known to us and demonstrate to us and show to us more about who God is in a perfect sense. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. A divine revelation has been given to us by God, and a complete revelation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The word ought. Ought to. Now, the word ought is sometimes neglected in saying that, well, it's you can do it if you want to. You know, we believe in feet washing as an expression of Christian humility and Christian love. In 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, you have that the Lord said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to do that. Well, someone says, that wasn't a commandment. Well, when my dad told me that I ought to do something, though, that meant that I better get it done. It wasn't something that he was just saying, if you feel like it, if you want to, you might consider doing this. That was not what it meant. And that's what this word is. It's not a legal term, but it's an emphatic term. You ought. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Now, I said that word earnest. That word earnest means that we should give full attention. So this is what Paul here is saying to us now. Give full attention. Now we're then distracted. Distracted. That's the devil's business, to distract you. I want you to know, every one of us, the devil tries to distract you from hearing the word of God. He doesn't want you to hear. You remember the story of the sower going forth to sow? I've reminded you of that. That when the seed fell upon stony ground, the fowls of the air came and caught it away immediately. Why? Because our Lord said, lest they would hear and be converted. The devil doesn't want you to read this book. The devil does not want you to hear God's message. The devil is trying always to distract you from spiritual things and from Jesus Christ. And so we ought to give the more earnest heed. That word earnest heed is a terminology. It is means to be more superabundantly. It just means full attention. That's what Paul here is telling. You need to give full attention to things that we have heard. In the 15th chapter of Mark, the Lord, you read about when they were bringing the Lord to be crucified, and this word here is says they. Pilate asked him, what should I do with this Jesus? And the expression in the Gospel of Mark, the 15th chapter and verse 14, then Pilate said to him, why, what evil have they done? And they cried out more exceedingly. Now that means that they cried out so loud, so abundantly, that Pilate said, take him and crucify him. It's overwhelming, it's possessing. The more earnest heed. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Now, there are two kinds of hearing. There is positive hearing and there's negative hearing. To the things that we have heard, biblical, spiritual truths, it's what Paul here is talking about. The things that you have been taught by the Holy Spirit of God, the things that are in God's Word. Now, there are voices in the world today to distract you and to take away from the truth of God's Word. That's the devil's business. The devil is always, as I said, distracting. And the way in which he distracts us is that there are false things out there. Paul would tell you in the book of Corinthians, no marvel that because the devil himself will try to display himself as an angel of light. And he says, when tell you in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transporting themselves as the apostles of Christ. As the apostles of Christ. One of the big reasons that we have a problem with trying to explain why we are primitive Baptists is because people have heard all kinds of different ideas about what, well, what's right, what's wrong. Well, everybody, the Methodists have this way, the Presbyterians say this, Church of God says, well, you folks, you're just one of the many different kinds of ways to serve God. No, there's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And so there are distractions, and there are false preachers and false apostles, and that's the devil's business. You know, a magician has a way of distracting you. They will say, now look here, I've got something right here in my hand, and I'm going to change it, and all the while, this right hand has got something else going on down here, and you got all your attention, and you're looking at that left hand, and he's doing something with the right hand that you don't see. Well, that's the devil's business. The devil distracts us from the truth of God. He distracts us from hearing God's word. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. The things that we have heard. The truth of God. There are false teachers and there are true teachers. There are things that we have heard given to us by the Holy Spirit of God in His Word, coming to us through His apostles, coming from the very throne of God through by Jesus Christ. Remember when we're talking about God, that Christ spoke to us and He said, the things that I say unto you, I have received from my Father. And so what the Lord taught was not just, so to speak, His ideas about things. He was speaking the very truth of God from the throne of God. And now Paul has said, we need to give the more earnest heed. I'll tell you, folks, you cannot listen to anything more important than what the Word of God says. But I will also tell you that it is the book that is least read in our homes, in our lives. And we spend more time watching television and other things than reading the Word of God. Why? Because distractions. The devil wants you to be distracted. I'll get to it after a while. I'll do it with distractions. I know. See, I know. The opposite of distractions is discipline. Discipline. You see, concentration. You're driving down the highway. Listen, you got your family in the car with you, and you're going down the highway making 60 miles an hour, and you're meeting another vehicle coming at you at 60 miles an hour. You're going to, if you meet head on, that's a compound force of 120 miles an hour, and you don't want to have your family hurt and you killed. Back when I used to drive a propane tanker truck, I was coming north on Highway 17. Some of you know where that is, over in Alabama, and I was coming up hauling 5,000 gallons of propane gasoline, and I met a gas truck coming south. This was during the summertime, and as we met on kind of a narrow bridge. It was not a one-lane bridge, but it was not a bridge that it had any much more room than just for two vehicles. And as I met this gas truck coming south, I noticed the driver had his arm out here on the, laid up on the out open window, and then as I got closer to him, I realized he had his right arm up on the back seat of his truck. And I got past him, and I picked up my microphone with my CB, and I said, hey, driver. He said, yeah. I said, how were you holding that steering wheel when we met? Oh, he said, I had my knee up against it. I said, I just met you with 9,000 gallons of propane gasoline. And I said, if we had hit each other, they would be looking for our pieces in the next state. If you wouldn't mind, please, the next time you and I meet, put at least one hand on that steering wheel. He was being distracted. That's what the devil is doing, keeping you from listening and hearing the Word of God. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Here it is. We're talking about eternal truths. We're talking about things pertaining to your soul salvation. We're talking about how God would have us to live in this old world that we're living in today. You'll not get it anywhere else except from God's Word. The devil is constantly distracting. Music. Oh, the beat of this present day music. It is to distract you. It is to take your mind off of things. How many people were going to be listening to the Super Bowl game today? All the sports activity that goes on in the world and all the stuff that's on television, that's called amusement. Remember, that word is a compound word from the Latin, which means the word a is non, and the next part of it is muse, that means to think. It means not to think. And that's what the devil wants you to do, is to not think. Don't think about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't think about your soul's eternal destiny. Don't think about what sin is. Don't think about sin. That's the last thing you want you to think about. Because it is sin that separates you from God. The hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. His ear deaf that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you between you and your God. That's for all of us, friends. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And here's the danger. Lest at any time we should let them slide. Let them slip. It means, friends, that you just let something go. You didn't throw it away. You didn't turn your back on it and walk away from it. But you just let it slide. Slip out of your hand. You ever have something to drop that you just slipped out of your hand? You didn't mean to drop it, but you just didn't have a real firm hold on it. I get the eggs. My wife keeps eggs in the refrigerator and a tray thing, and it's got about 2 dozen eggs in there. And when I get the eggs out of the refrigerator for us to fix breakfast in the morning, I pull that tray out, and I make sure I get a good hold on that hand. I don't want to be cleaning up that mess in the floor. I'm going to give true due diligence and attention to that tray, because I don't want it to slip away. Did you ever pick up something that was very precious? Did you ever get a hold of something very fragile? You know, you go into these antique stores. I like going in antique stores. One of the things that you'll see signs in these antique stores, if you break it, you buy it. And they got some kind of expensive things in there. And so when you walk around through an antique store, you watch where you're going and you be careful. And if you pick up something, you want to be very careful that you give it, you got a good hold on it. You don't want to drop it, because if you drop it, you're going to buy it. Paul here is saying that here's the danger of not giving due attention to the Word of God and to your spiritual life, your spiritual condition. We let things slide away. Important things. You know, one of the most dangerous things for your car is the lack of maintenance. I imagine most of you went out and got in the car this morning and you never thought about one thing, about checking the oil, checking the tires, looking around about it. Well, maybe you did it through the week. But what if you went every day that way? What if you go a whole month? You know what's going to happen? Something is going to come loose. Brother Johnny's a mechanic over here. He knows what it is, how important it is to maintain things. You've got to stay ahead of them. Watch out. But if you don't, the lack of maintenance means something just slides out from you. Give due attention, lest we let them slip away. For if the word, now that's the Greek word logos, is talking about both things, both the living word, which is Jesus Christ, and the written word. The written word is that which is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. For if the Logos spoken by angels, the word that angels gave in the old economy, Old Testament days, if what they said was steadfast, that means it is firm, it's sure. Angels didn't come down to earth to lie to people. Angels weren't here to deceive. Now, there are some evil angels. There are fallen angels. They're called demons. We've talked about them already. This is not what Paul here was talking about when he says angels. He's not talking about demons. He's talking about the elect angels of God who do the will of God. They are the servants of God, and they're sent to do and carry his message. And so if the message delivered by angels was sure and steadfast, and every transgression. Now the word transgression here is important. It means crossing the line. Every violation. Stop signs. Speed limits. All those things are restrictions. They're rules to tell you how you are to operate your vehicle out on the highway. Not only do you have those kind of violations, you have, you know, other kinds of violations that deal with your conduct. You cannot set somebody else's house on fire with it being a violation, you know. You may not like them, but you can't do that without the police coming after you. And so there are violations. You can't take somebody else's money. That's a violation of not only the law of God, but the law of society. And you have but note what it says. Every transgression, every violation of God's word sent down, given by angels, that goes back to the Ten Commandments, you know, Moses on the mountain, that message come from God. Every message and every transgression and every disobedience received not approval, not blessing, but note the justice of God. God's justice is involved here. Remember, we've talked about this before, that God is a just God, and he punishes people for violation of his word. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense. Now, turn right over there in your Bible to the fourth chapter of Hebrews, if you would, and I want to read a couple verses here for you. I'll read at verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a," now here's what I want you to listen, "and is a discerner," the word of God is a discerner, that's the work of the word of God by the Holy Spirit of God, the work of God by the Holy Spirit of God is a discerner of the thoughts. What you're thinking about right now is a discerner. You've not deceived God. He knows all about it. Discerner of the thoughts, not only the thoughts, but the intents of the heart. Why did you come to the church today? Well, I don't want the preacher to get after me. Well, the preacher didn't know anything about that. But I'll tell you one thing. The Lord knows about it. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. Hey, we're not talking about mommy and daddy. We're not talking about the policeman. We're not talking about the governor or the president. We're talking about God Almighty. There are, every creature is made manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open on the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, folks, that's a serious statement. We're not talking about what the government might think about it. We're not talking about what the church might think about it. We're not talking about what your mom and dad might think about it or what your friends may think about it. Your friends may be very excited and very happy you're doing what you're doing. But I want to tell you something. God Almighty knows why you're doing what you're doing, and nothing is hid from Him. The darkness is as light unto Him. And so Paul here is telling us that every disobedience received a just recompense. Now you said, preacher, you've said a lot of things today that I just don't know if I want to get on board. Well, just look at what Paul is going to say to us here in verse 3. How shall you escape? How shall you escape? There's an old song, gospel song, many years ago. Most of y'all probably would never heard it because I'm too old for you. No hiding place here. Great God Almighty, you can't hide from Him. There's no hiding place here. You were reading the book of Revelation about people who are trying to hide from the Lord. That's in the 6th chapter of Revelation. They're trying to hide from the face of Him that's set upon the throne. And they're crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon and to hide them from the face of God. I want to tell you, folks, there's no hiding place from God. Even death does not hide you from God. The rich man in hell was in torment. There is a resurrection. We talk about the resurrection of the saints, and we talk about that in good terms. We're looking forward to it. That when the Lord will come, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we'll rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something else. Here's the bad news about it. The resurrection of the unregenerate. You're not going to die and get away from it. I hear there's a lot of increase of suicides among young people. That's tragic. That's terrible. But people who commit suicide are trying to escape the consequences of something in their life. But there's no escaping of the consequences of God's judgment. How shall we escape? First chapter of Romans. Brother David made reference to them a while ago. There's a verse right here that I want you to take note of in the 20th verse of the first chapter of Romans. I'll read verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. He's talking about creation. Sunrise, sunset, creation, all about creation. Beautiful confirmation of God's wisdom and God's power and His existence. Now in verse 20 he says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the conscience, I know the other day on Facebook somebody was talking about creation. Oh, that's just a conspiracy, that's a farce and so on. Well, whatever you believe about creation, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to face the Creator. You can deny creation if you want to, but one day you're going to meet the Creator. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Here's the line I want you to note. So that they are without excuse. There's no excuses. There's no exceptions. There's no exemptions. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us that heard Him? You say, well, I don't believe a thing in the world in that book, preacher. I don't believe the Bible. That's all right. It doesn't change it one bit. Someone said, you know, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, my friend, it's settled. This is the book. Forever, O Lord, Thy throne is settled and set in heaven. The eternal God is the eternal God. And we are eternal beings. Now, when I say that, I mean that we don't go out of existence. There's a time that we came into existence. And we use that term talking about God being the eternal God. He has no beginning or end of days. You and I have a time that we came into existence. We were born such and such time. But from that time of our conception, the time of our conception, we don't cease to exist. You are an eternal being, all of us. And we're either going to exist in eternity in hell and torment, or you're going to be with the Lord in glorified bodies for all eternity. Hallelujah. By God's grace and mercy and because of Jesus Christ, that's what God's elect are going to do. But every person that ever walked across the face of this earth is going to exist for all eternity. And you're without any excuse because God has set forth his handiwork in the heavens. The stars, the moon, the earth, all of creation. I love creation, don't you? I'll tell you, it's the handiwork of God. Birds, I feed birds around our house. I like to watch those birds sing and fly and listen to them sing. Those birds, my friends, I don't know what their voice is, but I like to think that they're praising God. But all of creation is the handiwork of God. And God is saying, I am. I am. I didn't start. I's here. That's put in vernacular that we understand. You know, I's here. And I's always have been. And I always will be. The eternal God. And you and I are eternal beings. And it's not so much what we're doing right now that's going to end things. You know, it's the distractions that go on around about us. That's the devil's business. We are all distracted by politics and the powers of the ordained of God. God's got that in control. Whether you like it or not, it's God's work. You can pray for those in authority over you. Pray that God will give them wisdom and pray that we might live peaceful and quiet life. That's what the Bible says. This pandemic, everybody's all concerned about it. You know why we're all concerned about it? Because people are afraid of dying. It's a flu. It's a virus. There are people who are dying of heart attacks, people who are dying of cancer, people dying in automobile accidents, but it's been blown out of proportion, and that's the thing as though it was the only thing that's going to kill you. And some people are on their way to get their shots, and they had a car wreck and got killed and never got the shot. That happens. Some are on their way to get their shot, and they had a heart attack and never got their heart, got the shot. Most important thing they were concerned about was getting that shot, but other things happen. But you're distracted. Now, to you here, to God's people, where are we today? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, I told you, mentioned to you the first of the year, that it's accountability time. Taking account of where we are. How much did I do for the Lord last year? What's my spiritual condition? We go to the doctor and we get checkups. We take the car to the mechanic and we get things checked out. But do we ever stop to check ourselves out spiritually? Where am I? As I stand before the Lord, who knows my thoughts, who knows all about me, where am I? Am I living in a distracted world and lifestyle? Am I too busy for the Lord? Have other things come into my life and I've been pushing the Lord out? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, you say, oh, Brother Herb, don't you believe that God's elect are going to go to heaven? Yes, sir, I do. But I'll tell you one thing. There's some paddling that might go along too. There's some chastening if you're God's children. There's some correction if you're one of God. There's some joys that you're going to miss out on. David sinned. Everybody knows all about David's sin. But one of the things that everybody doesn't know, remember, is the consequences of David's sin in his own personal life. And then he says in the 51st Psalm, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What's happened to the joy of our salvation? Well, we've got trash we're occupied with trash, distractions. We're not spending time in prayer, not spending time reading, meditating on the things of the Lord. Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand. I've got so many things going on. I remember reading about a very well-known Bible scholar in days past, preacher. He said, the busier I am, the more I need to spend time with the Lord. The busier I am, the more I need time with the Lord. Psalms 143 and verse 8. I hope that you're remembering and memorizing that verse. Cause me in the morning to hear thy loving kindness, because I trust in thee. Cause me to know the way that I ought to go, because I lift up my soul to you. Don't you think you might need to know the way you ought to go? All that's going on in the world, the confusion and distortions and perversions, and when you know the news, you can't trust the news. Folks, I'll tell you, there's no good news outside of God's Word. And all the news you're going to get is going to be bad news. And the reason why we're so depressed and discouraged is because of the bad news we're listening to. These people that Paul is writing the book of Hebrews, they were being persecuted, hounded all around them, and they were being distracted, and they're wanting to back away. And now Paul says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Where are we today? What's been going on in our lives? You know, tax time. Nobody likes tax time. Bad figures you look at, how much you got, where it all went to. Oh. Where did it go? What did I do with that? I didn't get paid that much. That's not right. It can't be I got that much money. Yeah, that's what it says. That's what you got. Accounting time. Reckoning time. How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Where are we spiritually? Where am I? Where are you? You say, Brother Hatfield, I'm just so discouraged. I feel so weak. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. I'll give you a pill for it. And that's the Word of God. You spend time reading God's Word. You know, I tell people, I'm a soul doctor. I don't have a degree, but I'm a soul doctor. And people, I talk to them, and I say, well, listen, how much time have you been reading God's Word? How much time have you been spending in prayer? But Brother Hatfield, I'm just so busy. You're too busy. I've encouraged you to start preparing for church 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. And the devil is going to try every way in the world to keep you from doing that. He wants to get you so tired and so wore out and so busy that you've got to jump out of bed come Sunday morning and just grab things and run out and try to come to the church. And you come to church and you're tired and you're wore out and you're just distracted. And then you get up and leave and you say, I didn't get anything out of church. Spiritual reckoning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Our Father, we come to you here this morning. We're thankful for this great salvation we have in Christ Jesus, whereby that you sent us your only begotten Son to die for us and redeem us from our sins, that we would have eternal life in Him. Oh, Lord, prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Prone, dear Lord, we are because of our own sinful natures. May you be pleased, Lord, to draw us closer to you. May you be pleased, Lord, to cause your people to humble ourselves and to pray and to turn from our wicked ways, that you might be pleased, Lord, to send mercy and grace upon the end of our lives. I thank you that you are the great God. Thank you that you've loved us. Thank you that you've given us Christ as our Redeemer and Savior. Thank you we have him as our great High Priest. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that reproves us and corrects us and teaches us and guides us. May you be pleased to guide us day by day in the days that lie before us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.